Hi, and welcome to Bedtime Stories for the Discerning Child. We're really happy you're here with us listening tonight. Tonight's story was our very first and oldest story, and we've wanted to share it with you for a very long time. But like a lot of our early recordings, most of it was lost. So tonight is a very special retelling of a story that so far only three people have heard. This is a story about stories and what happens when a fairy tale becomes a real part of someone's life. Now, you may recognize parts of this story because it's actually a sequel or a second part to one of my favorite fairy tales when I was growing up. And you're going to hear a little bit of that story here tonight and a lot more. So, here it is. Tonight's story, part one of Fum.
So Saskia, when was the last time we did this story?
Are you recording?
Yeah.
Well, I don't actually know, so long ago.
And Fum is a story we told years ago, and I decided to retell it to you and to do actually even a better job of it.
Yeah.
So, are you ready?
Yeah.
How excited are you?
So much I could jump up and down and reach the ceiling and not get hurt.
Okay. Well, don't do that. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Fum.
Chapter 1.
Now, tonight, I'm going to tell you a story about two kids who did a lot of very surprising things and a baby who did one very surprising thing, even for a baby. The kids' names were Tom, who was 5 years old, and Mila, who was 8. And the baby, who was a baby, was named Finn. But the kids called him Huckleberry because of the famous book, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. And because, like Huckleberry Finn, the baby was always wandering away. Once, it was a neighbor who brought him back and who found the baby after it had crawled across a busy highway right in front of the building where they lived. Imagine, Saskia, a baby crawling out the apartment door, into the elevator, down the elevator, out the doors of the building, down the sidewalk, and across the road. And all of that was proof that sometimes grown-ups were too busy to look down for little things like a baby. Maybe grown-ups like dogs or cats or guinea pigs and maybe even babies should use their noses more and ears as much as their eyes. And maybe then they'd notice a baby crossing the street. But it's not in the city where we first meet our family here in this story, but in a small pickup truck loaded with furniture and clothes and toys and other things, just strapped to it, headed down a country road. And the country road was cutting across and between the wide, sunny, tall grass prairies under an enormous blue sky filled with perfect, puffy little clouds.
I knew you were gonna say clouds.
What would I have said instead of clouds? Puffy little
pillows.
So they were moving, but where and why? So, what do you think so far?
I love it.
Mila was the oldest. She was 8 years old, but you wouldn't always know it because she was shy with adults. She'd never speak up even if the teachers missed her turn at school, and she never really seemed to have energy at school with things like running and jumping. She always had a note to excuse her from this or for that. Some of it was made up. and some of it was real. And no one really knew which was which, so Mila often stayed in class at recess, where she read stories, which she liked, because it was her favorite thing to do. And she wasn't always able to get her head or her heart out of the stories and into the world, which didn't always work out for her. Now, Tom was kind of the opposite of Mila, because even though he was sick, he never brought notes, and he tried everything. And already in kindergarten, he had more friends than Mila had ever had in her entire life. Her parents said sometimes Tom had one of everything and enough spirit for everything else. Now, what they meant was, Saskia, that Tom had one of about everything meant some pretty serious stuff. He had one good lung. He had one good kidney, one good arm. But he had two good eyes, two good ears, and a spirit and a heart bigger than any kid that Mila had ever known.
Oh my goodness.
What are you drawing? Is it a dragon?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. So what did I just say about Tom?
Tom is the opposite of Mila.
In what way?
He doesn't, like, read books all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what else did I say about Tom? Did you catch it?
Yeah.
What is he? He's sick. So you know how Mila's kind of pretending to be sick so she doesn't go out for recess and stuff like that? Yeah. Tom is sick. We don't know with what yet. But he never brings notes. And no matter what, he always tries stuff. He's always going out and running with his friends and stuff, even though he is sick. And he only has one lung, and only has one kidney. And he has two arms, but one's kind of weak, and one is strong. But what does he have two of?
Eyes.
Yeah, and?
Ears.
Huh? And what is bigger than all of that put together?
His heart.
Yeah. So Tom was always going a little too far. He was, Mom and Papa might say that he was outdoing himself. Meant that his body couldn't do what his mind and his heart wanted to do.
What?
Yeah. So when Tom's parents would get a call from the school nurse when Tom, who had run faster than he was supposed to, would be lying in the nurse's room, lying down, and his parents would come in and he'd look up at his parents who would come to pick him up, and he would say...
What? What do you say?
He would say... It was worth it, Dad, because I'm the fastest kindergarten kid to ever win the school running race.
What? The fastest kid to ever win the school running race?
Yeah, but where did that make him wind up?
In the nurses.
Yeah, so even though he did it afterwards, he feels so tired and so sick that he's in bed. And that was a big part of why the family was moving. Tom's sickness. They were moving to the country, so Tom's body, with all the country air running through it, could sort of catch up with the bigness of his heart and his spirit. And so Mila could also escape her land of stories and just put her feet on the ground and really think about where she was, maybe for the first time in her life, and pay attention to what was happening around her and be, you know what we say for that, Saskia?
What?
We say grounded, so she could be grounded.
Yeah.
That means kind of like putting your feet on the ground. Look, there it is, said Mother. Mother had once been an Olympic runner with 2 gold medals and 1 silver one. And even now, even though she stopped running and stopped running in races, she had the energy and excitement about the world like Tom did. And their father was a bit of a different guy. He was a science teacher at the school. And he had gotten his new job and had left a really, really cool job doing research at the university. And he was doing research into food, what they called growing superfoods, like giant watermelons and giant carrots and giant potatoes, so they could feed the whole world. So the university was sorry to see him go, but he was actually looking forward to finally planting his own food on a real farm like his parents had done when he was just a kid before they had moved to Canada. So exciting, their father said, And the kids unbuckled their seatbelts and stood on the back seat so they could see over their parents' shoulders while they drove. A great big old storybook farmhouse was there with square windows on every side and tiny circle windows at the very top where the attic could be. There were fences for horses and nothing but tall grasses growing everywhere where corn and wheat and potatoes and other plants had grown. And a red barn stood halfway across the field. And beyond that was an enormous, tall hill. And this was weird because it was the only hill on the flat, flat lands that stretched out as far as you could see. What do you think so far? Do you like it?
Chapter 2.
They had gone to bed early, and everyone was exhausted after the moving day. The next day was school, and that day went by in a flash. The school was far away, and the kids had to wake up early, and they had to walk down to the main road and catch a little yellow bus that took them into town. Now, on the bus, the other kids told them stories, whispering to them that the giant hill was not just a hill, but a buried giant that had fallen from the sky, and that the house that they lived in had once belonged to a boy named Jack. And Jack had left to travel the world years and years before and never come back. He left the house as it had been when his parents were alive and when he was a boy almost 75 years ago. So with a story like that in her head, Mila was excited to get back home and explore the house. Mila led Tom through the house looking for secret rooms. They looked for clues, and then Mila remembered the round windows of the attic that she had not seen yet. So she looked around the house, and they tried to find a door that would lead them upstairs, until Mila noticed, hanging from the ceiling in their parents' bedroom, a rope. Tom got on Mila's shoulders and they teeter-tottered and fell across the bed. And then they got up again and she stood on me, and Tom stood on Mila's shoulders and reached up and grabbed the rope. And then he hung from it. And very slowly, the rope pulled down. And as the rope pulled down, very slowly, a ladder started to come down from the ceiling until it touched the ground. They quickly hopped on the ladder to keep it there, and it clicked into place, and they went up. Now, the attic was full of strange things. Boxes, things that looked like old farm tools with wooden handles and rusted metal. And they also found boxes full of old newspapers. And as they looked through it, they found an old water-damaged photo of a plant coming out of the ground and stretching up into the sky. You think the story could be real, thought Mila, about Jack and his beanstalk? A headline, that's like a story, the name of a story in the newspaper said, Jack, 10 years old, slayer of giants. You know what that means?
What?
You know what a slayer is?
A slave?
Slayer is somebody who kills giants. So they're like, Jack, 10 years old, killed the giants. And then there was another photo of a small boy holding what looked a lot like a slingshot. You know what a slingshot is?
A bow and arrow.
Slingshot's like a, it's like a rubber band that you can, with a attached to a stick, and you can shoot like rocks or stuff really, really hard out of it if you do it right. Some kids are really good at it. I don't know if anyone in your school's got one. They're definitely not allowed at school because you can hurt other kids. But one thing they did find was a large gold ball. It was so shiny that Tom could see his reflection in it when he rubbed his hand.
I can tell you what it is.
So it wasn't completely round. And right away,
it's a gold egg.
Yeah, Mila recognized it as a golden egg. And this is from a magical goose from one of the stories she had read. Now, the funny thing, Saskia, about old stories like Jack and the Beanstalk is they've been around for so long that
that's not even around anymore?
Well, yeah, but also different people tell the stories in different ways. So sometimes the story will have a golden goose in it that lays golden eggs. Sometimes the story will have a golden harp that sings. Sometimes the story will have other things that you've never heard of before. Sometimes there'll be a father who chops down the beanstalk. Sometimes there's no father at all.
Sometimes Jack is the one that cuts.
And cuts it down.
That's what he did.
So, while Mila was looking through all these boxes, you know, knowing all these stories, she knows so many stories. She was thinking about all these different things when she found the egg. Now, while she was looking at the egg and thinking about all the stories, meanwhile, Tom was poking around in a small plastic kid's bucket, like a sand toy bucket. And he's looking through it, and in it there were some dried leaves and a tiny little bean that was so old it had like hardened into being like a tiny stone. Now, without really thinking about it, he picked up the stone and he put it in his pocket. And then he started crumbling the leaves and turning them into dust and kind of throwing them in the air. But really, Tom wasn't interested in the story. Tom was getting bored. And he said, "Come on, Mila. We've been in the house for hours. Let's go outside and play in the field." Mila, meanwhile, could have stayed in the attic for hours. The rest of the day, she could have stayed there all night too. But she knew her brother, and she knew Tom wouldn't stop talking about it if she didn't agree. So with him, they ran down the stairs and raced outside into the sunshine with the first fall storm coming in on the horizon.
Chapter 3.
"Looks like rain tomorrow," said Mila. "I'll have to get Mom to write a note so my cold doesn't get worse." Tom looked at her and laughed. He said, "Forget about tomorrow. Let's run now." So they ran and they ran and they ran and they ran through the hills. Could you imagine running through a field that doesn't end with high grass blowing in the sunshine? And Tom was yelling, "We're free. We're free because we live in the country." And they started chanting it and singing that line over and over together. Now, Tom was one of those few people who could make Mila forget about her aches and pains and her cold and her sore feet, whatever it was that was keeping her inside at recess. And they raced and they raced and they raced to the top of the hill. Tom always was leading, and he was leaping from stone to stone to stone. And he would hide behind grasses, and then he would jump out, and he would scare Mila with a little squeal of delight. And they were having so much fun that Mila didn't even realize how late it was getting, or how out of breath Tom was getting, or how close the dark rain clouds had come. And they got to the top of the hill just at the moment that the sun was about to sink below the horizon and shone its bright light across the tops of all the grasses. So Tom puffed himself up. He kind of like pushed out his chest and stood big and tall. And when he was doing that, he was kind of pushing out the last bit of his energy into his body. And for a minute when the sun was hitting him, do you know what it looked like?
What?
It looked like he was glowing from the inside. It was beautiful. And Tom was thinking about, you know, how much she loved Tom, her brother. And he smiled back at her with like a big, strong smile. But even like almost as soon as he was smiling, the sun went below the horizon. The sun had set. And Tom was not standing in the light anymore. He was kind of standing in more shadow or gloom. And it looked to Mila, not that the light had stopped shining on him, but that kind of the light that was coming out of him, it looked dimmer, it looked like his light was shrinking. Like he had, you know, like his body actually even got smaller. And she thought to herself when she was looking at him, she was thinking that maybe Tom had actually been getting just a tiny bit smaller for a while, maybe the last couple of months. Now, as they were standing there, rain clouds came in, and the rain, you know, sometimes when it starts raining all at once, like pouring,
yeah.
Well, that's what happened. And they didn't have any raincoats or jackets or anything. And they were so far from the house. Now, Tom had used up all his energy, and he struggled on through the rain. And then Mila was helping him. He had his arm over her shoulder, and she was helping him. And then, you know what?
What?
She was carrying him. And she was getting colder and colder in the pouring rain. They were soaking wet, and she was trying to carry him, but slipping in the mud and getting up and slipping in the mud. And Tom was no help at all. And then one time when Tom fell, something fell out of his pocket into the field, and neither of the kids noticed. By the time her mother found them in the wet farm field, shivering with cold and rain and not able to walk anymore, it was already too late, and both of the kids were getting very sick. And they were sweating and shaking and shivering, and their mom quickly brought them into the house, and she ran the hottest bath she could, and she made soup and gave them medicine to help them sleep, so that they could heal for the morning. So with that, both Tom and Mila had, you know when you sleep and it's like a sick sleep, like a fever sleep?
Yeah.
What happens to your mind? What do you have?
It wanders.
It wanders, and you have strange dreams, don't you? And sometimes nightmares. Mm. And they had like the same dreams that night. They both had a dream of a seed splitting open, and the roots were growing into the ground and spreading out deep into that huge hillside.
Oh my God.
And they had dreams of the booming of thunder and lightning. And they had dreams that the world around them was starting to change.
Oh my God.
And that's the end of chapter 3. And that's the end of the reading for tonight. So what do you think is going to happen? Will Tom and Mila be safe? What about little Huckleberry? Come back next week to hear more. And if you like our stories, then let us know. Subscribe to our podcast, rate and review us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and other platforms. Reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook. Until next time, take care of each other and hug the people you love. Things are going to get better. Good night.